Levi Thamba died after falling from the balcony of a Denver hotel on March 11th. An autopsy report released Wednesday says he died from the fall, but also lists marijuana intoxication as a contributing factor. This is the Radio Talking Book.
What's going on in show business? Who's the latest hotshot in Hollywood? Will they be found guilty? It's time for America's favorite reading material while waiting for the laundromat dryer to stop. It's the National Enquirer. I'm Melissa Wyman. Let's get started with this cover story. Obama divorce battle gets nasty. Michelle walks out. The first couple's secret split. In a major behind-the-scenes blowout, President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle waged their worst White House fight ever over her lavish vacation trip to China. Sources tell the Inquirer that Obama exploded when Michelle refused to cancel her pricey getaway, even after White House advisors warned him that the first couple's six-year string of extravagant vacations had already drained the U.S. Treasury of a whopping $150 million in taxpayer money. Instead of postponing her trip, a furious Michelle, still seething over the embarrassing selfie Barack recently snapped with a leggy blonde head of state, announced that she was taking her mother along for company. She further declared that she didn't want reporters covering her activities overseas. This was a blowout of epic proportions, probably the nastiest White House fight they've ever had, a Washington, D.C. insider told the Inquirer. They were both screaming at one another. The president was infuriated when advisors told him that they'd added up the costs of all their vacations and China was putting them over the $150 million mark. But he's defenseless to stop Michelle because their marriage has collapsed. She's doing what she wants, and that's seeing the world on the American taxpayer's dime. The embattled commander-in-chief flat out begged his wife of 21 years to postpone the trip, according to a family insider. But she refused, said the source. Then when Barack asked why she decided to take her mother along, Michelle ripped into him. She screamed that he was lucky she hadn't left him after that embarrassing selfie, and then she stormed off. Michelle arrived in Beijing with her mother, Marion Robinson, and the Obamas' daughters, 15-year-old Malia and Sasha, 12, on March 20th, for a planned 7-day, 3-city trip. They checked into the lavish presidential suite at the Beijing Westin Hotel, costing a whopping $8,350 per night. The 3,400-square-foot suite included 24-hour butler service and a steam room. One published report quoted hotel employees grumbling about Michelle's mom barking at the staff and added that the First Lady's party was inconveniencing pretty much everyone. And it quickly became clear that Michelle had apparently won the battle to avoid media scrutiny. While she was scheduled to deliver a speech to students at Peking University, the Weekly Standard reported that she won't be accompanied by the press because, quote, she does not plan to give interviews. As a result, the White House went into spin control, noted the D.C. insider. They're defending Michelle's trip by calling it a people-to-people exchange and emphasizing the importance that both nations place on education, said the source. But the fact is, Michelle specifically demanded that reporters not follow her every move. Media were granted access to only two of the 22 events on the First Lady's schedule, and sources say Michelle's media ban hid her secret agenda to split from the president. Besides being humiliated by the president's selfie photo with the sexy Danish prime minister at Nelson Mandela's memorial service last December, sources say Michelle was further outraged when she learned the Secret Service had been covering up the president's cheating. The First Lady has already met with divorce lawyers and is planning a separate life after her husband leaves the White House. Obama's advisors told him he must try to keep Michelle under control until then, divulged the D.C. insider. They explained that if Michelle walked out while he was still in office, the impact on his presidential legacy would be catastrophic. And Michelle isn't doing him any favors by traveling like a queen. Besides the family's annual August vacation on ritzy Martha's Vineyard and Christmas holiday in Hawaii, Michelle jetted off to Mexico and Spain in 2010 and kicked up her heels at a posh ski resort in Vail, Colorado in 2011. In March 2011, she spent 5 days in Latin America with her mother and daughters. 3 months later, they were joined by Michelle's niece and nephew for a safari in South Africa. In June 2013, the First Lady spent 2 days in Ireland. That trip required booking 30 rooms at an exclusive hotel for her staff and security detail, costing taxpayers a reported $5 million. According to one published report, the president's pricey travels have become so controversial that Judicial Watch was forced to sue the Secret Service and Defense Department to get them to turn over records on the amount of taxpayer money used to fly the first family all over the world. But Michelle couldn't care less, said the D.C. insider. It's clear to everyone at the White House that Barack has completely lost control of his wife, said the source. Michelle does whatever she wants and goes wherever she wants. It's as if she's tacked up a map of the world and put pins on all the places she wants to visit. The sad part is that the taxpayers are paying for her bucket list. How Ellen Fooled America. TV sweetheart is really the queen of mean. Ellen DeGeneres is all sweetness and light on camera. But sources say that, behind the scenes, the 56-year-old star is the queen of mean. An exhaustive Inquirer investigation has uncovered the shocking truth about America's so-called sweetheart and her off-screen diva tantrums, ugly celebrity bashing, and strife in her personal life. Ellen has pulled the wool over her fans' eyes, declared an insider. While she acts like she's the sweetest woman in Hollywood, Ellen is actually cruel and cranky to nearly everyone around her. Instead of hosting the Academy Awards, Ellen should win one. She fakes it for the camera and has managed to convince America that she's the nicest woman in showbiz. That's not the real story, said the source, especially on the set of Ellen's syndicated talk show. Ellen lights up when the cameras go on, but during rehearsals, she's a monster, said the source. She routinely rages at underlings and takes her frustrations out on the staff. She once tossed a bottle of water across the room, almost hitting several people, just because it wasn't the right temperature. And if she isn't happy with the temperature on the Ellen set, she's been known to throw a tantrum, calling stagehands incompetent and threatening to walk off until her demands were met. The Emmy winner also insists on a no-eye-contact rule, meaning staff members are not allowed to look at her or make eye contact during rehearsals. The edict has reportedly prompted some humiliated underlings to quit in disgust. Her staff lives in fear of her, added another source. Producers will fire people if something angers Ellen or when segments go wrong. Ellen also complains that she's sick of talking to celebrities. She complains, most of these people don't have anything interesting to say. While Ellen seems chummy with a number of A-list stars, the camaraderie is phonier than a $3 bill, said the source. According to the source, it seems like Ellen feigns friendship with several hot stars, but the truth is she couldn't care less about them, unless there's something they can do for her. Jokes that bomb also spark the talk show queen's wrath, said the second source. Ellen thinks nothing of loudly berating the show's writers for not being funny enough or not giving her material she considers suitable, said the insider. But if a writer comes up with a joke that gets huge laughs, Ellen takes full credit. Neat freak Ellen also acts like a tyrant with her household help, said the insider, although Ellen has denied that she's a germaphobe. She sets traps to see if her housekeepers are giving her $40 million Holmby Hills mansion the spick-and-span treatment, claimed the insider. One time, Ellen climbed up a ladder and sprinkled breadcrumbs in a hard-to-reach nook and then waited to see if the mess was cleaned up. When the housekeeper admitted she missed the spot, Ellen went nuclear and threatened to fire the woman if she ever made a similar mistake again. She also doesn't allow kids into her house, and upset her 41-year-old wife, Portia de Rossi, when she banned pal Jason Bateman from bringing his young daughters over. Portia once claimed that neither she nor Ellen wanted kids. But the source insisted Portia would welcome the pitter-patter of little feet, but they're not having kids because Ellen thinks children are messy and annoying. Ellen's nasty behavior may stem from the problems in her personal life, sources say. As the Inquirer has reported, she and Portia have been secretly seeing a marriage counselor in hopes of avoiding a $220 million divorce showdown. The two have been locking horns over Ellen's workaholic ways, girl crushes, and lavish spending. Because of all that personal stress, Ellen's nice lady facade is faltering, noted the source. Ellen's nastiness even bubbled up at the Oscars when she took a cruel swipe at Liza Minnelli, insinuating the ailing icon was really a drag queen. An irate Liza told reporters Ellen should have apologized. But rather than make amends, Ellen poked fun of Liza behind her back, said the source, even though Portia told Ellen the joke was mean-spirited. Ellen is suffering from a major runaway ego, the source said. In two jaw-dropping examples, Ellen blabbed to a reporter that she bested longtime pal Jennifer Aniston for a supporting role in the 1999 film Ed TV. And she recently boasted that Sandra Bullock's movie Miss Congeniality was based on her. Ellen claimed her male stylist was teaching her how to walk in a dress and heels for the Emmys when the Miss Congeniality writer saw it and thought it was brilliant. As we reported, Portia was furious with Ellen after she jokingly called mom-to-be Drew Barrymore fat. Since Portia has publicly admitted to struggling with eating disorders, she thought Ellen's flippant jab was in poor taste, although Ellen and Drew later made light of the incident on Ellen's show. And during her short-lived stint as a judge on American Idol in 2010, Ellen reportedly clashed with series honcho Simon Cowell. Ellen has been rubbing actress Jodie Foster the wrong way, too, after warning the Oscar winner not to marry her current squeeze, Alexandra Hedison, whom Ellen dated years ago. Another source added, "The truth about Ellen is finally coming out, and it's not pretty. A lot of people feel it's only a matter of time before her fans turn on her." Angie's fury over copycat Charlize. Why Hollywood beauties are at each other's throats. Meow! In the cat fight to end all Hollywood cat fights, Angelina Jolie and Charlize Theron are at each other's throats. Sources say the two Oscar winners, both 38 and gorgeous, are blasting each other for following the same path in their charity work, families, and careers, and Angie thinks she's a copycat. "There's no love lost between them," said a source close to Angelina. "She's convinced that Charlize latches onto everything she does," the source said, adding that Angie can't stand Charlize, and the feeling is mutual. "The bad blood begins with their good works," said the source. Angelina was appointed Goodwill Ambassador for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees in 2001 and named UNHCR Special Envoy in 2012. The Tomb Raider beauty believes Charlize followed her lead by being tapped as a United Nations Messenger of Peace in 2008, said the source. The South African-born star also set up the Charlize Theron Africa Outreach Project to support African youth in the fight against HIV/AIDS in 2007. Angelina is also convinced that her adoption of Ethiopian-born daughter Zahara in 2005 inspired Charlize to adopt her African-American son Jackson in 2011, said the source. The source said that Angie even wonders whether Charlize is gunning to be part of Hollywood's hot new activist power couple, now that she's hooked up with Sean Penn. Angie's in an absolute fury. Charlize was glued to Penn's side at the third annual gala for his Help Haiti Home charity in Beverly Hills on January 11th, which raised nearly $6 million for relief. Meanwhile, the two screen sirens have been linked to the same high-profile movie role, with Angelina replacing Charlize in The Tourist when the leggy blonde backed out of the film. Now the source says Charlize is wondering what's going on with Angelina's upcoming movie, Maleficent, which is a new take on the Sleeping Beauty fairy tale. From everything Charlize has heard, the film sounds very familiar to her 2012 movie, Snow White and the Huntsman, said an insider. "This sounds like one feud that's not going to be settled anytime soon." Carrie can't stand Miranda. Ugly feud breaks out between duetting country queens. Miranda Lambert sang a duet with Carrie Underwood for a song called Something Bad, and sources say that could sum up the country diva's relationship. Carrie can't stand Miranda, revealed an insider. They're doing their best to act nice to publicize the song, but Carrie and Miranda were at each other's throats throughout the whole process over just about everything. Carrie was asked to collaborate on the tune for Miranda's upcoming album, Platinum, but they battled over everything from song lyrics to dining choices. For one thing, Carrie is an outspoken animal rights defender and vegan, so she hates that Miranda brags about hunting animals and eating them, said the source. Miranda has even posed for pictures on a hunting trip, wearing camouflage and holding a bow, then boasted on Twitter, "Wild hog for Thanksgiving." When they worked together, Carrie tried to steer Miranda away from meat. In an attempt to sway Miranda to her way of thinking, Carrie brought veggie burgers with soy cheese and a tofu stir-fry for lunch one day, said the insider. But Miranda turned her nose up and claimed it tasted like cardboard. Then, knowing how disgusted Carrie is by red meat, she ordered a basket of fried chicken and beef ribs, then chowed down in front of Carrie. Miranda, 30, and Carrie, 31, also butted heads over the song they were recording. Miranda reached out to Carrie, but expected to call all the shots, explained the insider. Then Carrie showed up with her own ideas about how they should each vocalize, and even talked about changing the lyrics around. Miranda shot Carrie down cold, and at that point, the gloves came off. Carrie started mocking Miranda's weight issues and marital problems behind her back. As we reported, Miranda has been flaunting a 30-pound weight loss. Although she denies it, whispers persisted that she turned to gastric bypass surgery to achieve the startling transformation. We've also detailed her battles with her husband, the voice star Blake Shelton, over his wandering eye. But Carrie isn't immune to domestic turmoil either. The Inquirer has revealed that she and her pro-hockey hunk hubby, Mike Fisher, have locked horns over plans to start a family and rumors of her affair with country singer Brad Paisley, which Paisley's wife has laughed off. The truth is, Carrie and Miranda triggered each other's insecurities, said the insider. They're both ambitious and intimidated by the other's strengths. It seems like the country music world isn't big enough for both of their egos. Lisa Marie, anorexia shocker. Fears for Presley daughter as weight plunges 60 pounds. Lisa Marie Presley's scary skinny appearance has friends terrified that she could be on the verge of suffering from a deadly eating disorder, say insiders. Over the past 4 years, the 5'3" singer's weight has plunged 60 pounds to a dangerously low 105. She's dropped 10 of those pounds in the past year alone, and experts agree that Lisa Marie is on the road to developing anorexia. The 46-year-old daughter of the late Elvis Presley is under incredible stress to live up to her father's tremendous fame, and sources say that could be contributing to her weight loss. The Australian leg of her grueling Storm and Grace tour has her performing 11 shows in just 2 weeks before she jets to Tokyo for 3 more concerts. After that, she'll be zigzagging across the U.S. and Canada for 19 additional dates before the tour ends on July 25th. That would be a killer schedule for the healthiest of performers, and Lisa has been anything but healthy, a friend told the Inquirer. I don't know if she has the stamina to play all those shows. Another source says Lisa Marie almost didn't make the tour at all, because she was knocked out by the 1-2 punch of food poisoning and a bad flare-up of her chronic fatigue syndrome. She was out of commission for a week during rehearsal sessions for the tour, the source divulged. She's pale, weak, barely eating, and hasn't been this thin since her early 20s. The biggest worry is that she's taken her extreme organic, low-calorie diet to the point that she's now battling anorexia. Lisa Marie recently admitted that her doctor said she was crazy for undertaking such an ambitious schedule, to which she replied, "Yes, I am, but I'm doing it anyway." Even her husband, Michael Lockwood, who functions as her band leader and co-manager of the tour, is said to be alarmed about her weight and gaunt appearance. Michael's always telling her that she needs to eat because he feels she's been starving herself, the source explained. He's afraid that she'll pass out at any moment. But Lisa Marie doesn't want to hear it. Friends tell her they're worried about her, but Lisa Marie gets moody and angry when she's confronted about it, said the friend. She tells everyone to mind their own business. Dr. Judy Kiriansky, a psychologist and expert in eating disorders who has not treated the performer, believes Lisa Marie is on the road to a dangerous problem, anorexia. Her weight is low. She should probably weigh about 115, but her weight is getting progressively less and less. It is dangerous, and it absolutely could get worse. From her past weight, it's obvious that she enjoyed eating. Dr. Carson Liu, a Los Angeles weight loss expert who's not treated Lisa Marie, added, I think if she continues to lose weight, there may be concern that she's suffering from anorexia. At its extreme, anorexia can be fatal. Fans have also expressed concern about Lisa Marie's weight. After she performed at the SXSW Music Festival in Austin, Texas in mid-March, one concertgoer noted, she looked pale and kind of unhealthy. The crowd seemed shocked at her appearance. Meanwhile, Lisa Marie is worth an estimated $300 million and has no financial need to perform. But her lifelong dream is to be a rock star in her own right, said another source. Lisa Marie is a very fine singer, but so many people only see her as a novelty act, the king's daughter. Nothing hurts her more. She feels like she's got something to prove, and her quest to get stick skinny plays right into that. Why Priscilla dumped Toy Boy. He was more interested in Elvis than her. Priscilla Presley dropped a hunky British radio host like a hot potato when he began asking too many questions about her late ex-husband Elvis, and not enough about her, a source says. Toby Anstis, 43, fell head over heels for the King's soon-to-be 69-year-old ex-wife after meeting her backstage at a London theater where she was appearing in the play Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And the feeling was apparently mutual. Priscilla thought Toby was charming, revealed a source, and she loved his sense of humor and the muscular body he's developed from working out 5 times a week and lifting weights. For the next month, they went to the local hot spots and they threw back tequila shots and danced the night away at the trendy Buddha Bar. Toby says Priscilla even invited him to visit her in the States, where she promised to give him a personal tour of Graceland. But the May-December romance fizzled out because Toby spent too much time asking Priscilla questions about Elvis, according to the source. Toby is a huge Elvis fan, and he wanted to know all about him, explained the source. When Priscilla returned to America, Toby couldn't wait for them to reunite. But he says his calls went unanswered and she didn't respond to his texts. A friend told him Priscilla complained that he talked too much about Elvis and didn't seem as interested in her, said the source. He disputed that, but is now dating a British reality show star. Still, he wishes he could see Priscilla again. This time he admits he'd pry more into her personal life and ask fewer questions about her late ex. Mila and Macaulay race to the altar. Troubled Home Alone star desperate to wed before pregnant ex. With a baby on the way, Mila Kunis is in a race to the altar with her former flame, Macaulay Culkin. The Ted beauty, who's expecting fiancé Ashton Kutcher's child, broke Culkin's heart when she ditched him over his drug use in 2011, insiders say. But now a source reveals that Culkin, 33, is head over heels for All My Children star Jordan Lane Price, and he wants to wed the Mila lookalike ASAP. Macaulay's convinced that Jordan's the one for him, the source told the Inquirer. They're crazy about each other. The Home Alone star is also a lot healthier and happier than before he met Jordan, noted the source. Culkin and Mila, 30, began dating in 2002. As the Inquirer reported in August 2012, he hadn't dated anyone since they split and was devastated over her then-budding romance with her That 70s Show co-star, Kutcher. Mac had become increasingly depressed over his career and his love life was in ruins, said his friend. He was madly in love with Mila, but she dumped him over his drug use, and her relationship with Ashton was destroying him. As the Enquirer reported, in December 2012, the former child star hit rock bottom when he became hooked on heroin and the powerful prescription painkiller oxycodone, although his reps vehemently denied our story. Insiders told us the troubled actor nearly overdosed on drugs and was talking about killing himself, saying that he had nothing to live for. But thanks to Jordan, he's turned his life around, said the source. The couple lives together in New York, and Jordan is traveling with Culkin while he tours with his cover band, the Pizza Underground, said the source. The concertgoer, who attended the band's show at the Black Cat nightclub in Washington, D.C. on March 21st, told the Enquirer, McCulley and Jordan only had eyes for each other. Jordan sang a version of the love song Perfect Day to McCulley and even did a duet with him. The band is a gag group that interjects pizza jokes into the lyrics of rocker Lou Reed's classic 60s band, The Velvet Underground. The band may be a joke, but McCulley's love for Jordan most definitely is not, said the source. They could be formally engaged within weeks and married by summer. Mila has her eye on a summer wedding as well, so it'll be interesting to see who gets to the altar first. Tori and Dean renewing vows, but 90210 star doesn't trust love rat hubby. Tori Spelling's husband, Dean McDermott, has been in the doghouse since his cheating scandal exploded late last year, so he's planning to renew their wedding vows again. The 40-year-old Beverly Hills 90210 star took her allegedly philandering husband back following widespread reports of an alcohol-fueled fling with 28-year-old Emily Goodhand in Toronto last December. But even though Dean went into rehab to address some health and personal issues and is back living with Tori and their children, she still doesn't trust him, reveals a source. Dean has a long way to go before Tori forgives him, the source told the Enquirer. His biggest fear is that she'll divorce him and he'll be left with nothing, so he's on a mission to convince Tori that she's still the love of his life. Dean has a lot of work to do. That's why he wants to renew their vows. Dean really does love Tori, and he doesn't want to lose his meal ticket. The two reality stars, parents to Liam, 7, Stella, 5, Hattie, 2, and Finn, 19 months, were married in 2006 and renewed their vows 4 years later. Now they're planning to do it for a third time on their 8th anniversary in May. Another insider said that Tori is going along with the vow renewal, but she's making sure Dean, 47, continues to attend counseling. Tori has a very long memory, noted the insider. According to the source, Dean may think he can make Tori forget his alleged infidelity by giving her expensive gifts and massages and renewing their vows, but it's going to take a lot more than that. Time's the only thing that will heal Tori's heart. Despite two divorces, Alan Thicke plays marriage counselor. Growing Pains dad trying to reunite son Robin and wife. Robin Thicke is turning to an unlikely source for help in saving his marriage to estranged wife Paula Patton, his twice-divorced dad, Alan Thicke. Robin, 37, and Paula, 38, who wed 9 years ago, split in late February after the stunning baggage claim actress got fed up with her hubby's flirting. An insider says the blurred line singer has been so desperate to win Paula back, he's even gotten his pop to play marriage counselor. Robin's convinced that his smooth-talking dad, despite his own checkered romantic history, could help him win back his wife. Paula and Alan, who's best known for playing Dr. Jason Seaver on the hit 80s sitcom Growing Pains, have always shared a close bond, said the insider. Paula adores Alan, and he adores her. He admitted he made a mess of his own love life and caused pain for his family with divorces. But he told Paula he believes she and Robin have the strength to get through this and save their union. Alan, 67, married Robin's mom, Days of Our Lives actress Gloria Loring, in 1970. They divorced when Robin was 9. In 1994, he tied the knot with former Miss World 1990 Gina Tolleson when she was 24 and he was 47. They had a son, Carter, now 16, but split in 1999. Meanwhile, Paula had overlooked stories about Robin's excessive flirting for years. But the final straw was his raunchy Video Music Awards performance with Miley Cyrus, in which the entertainers simulated sex acts on stage. That stunt was the beginning of the end, and Paula could no longer look the other way, revealed an insider. Robin pleaded with Paula for one last chance. He told her, "Look, my dad changed his ways, so can I." Since 2005, Alan, who's at work on a new reality show, Unusually Thick, has been happily married to former model Tanya Kalau. It's ironic that Alan's playing marriage counselor, the insider added, but he doesn't want his son to make the same mistakes he made. That's all, folks. Jennifer leaves Weight Watchers as Jessica Simpson hogs the limelight. Jennifer Hudson has parted ways with Weight Watchers just as Jessica Simpson takes over as star of the diet program's TV commercials. The 32-year-old Dream Girl star shed an amazing 80 pounds, slimming down from a size 16 to a size 6 during her 4-year stint with the famed weight loss brand. But just days after Jessica, 33, posted a sexy picture of herself on Instagram and revealed she'd hit her goal weight, Jennifer announced she was leaving Weight Watchers after a successful 4-year contract term. Jennifer felt that she was the perfect role model for Weight Watchers, said an insider. She lost an enormous amount of weight slowly and steadily and maintained her figure. Meanwhile, Jessica's weight yo-yoed, and she also took timeouts for her 2 pregnancies. According to the source, Jennifer wonders whether Jessica used her pregnancies as a way of buying time to lose weight and gain sympathy for herself, and Jennifer thinks Jessica may be too eager to jump into the spotlight. Although Jennifer has represented Weight Watchers well with her new sexy and svelte body, Weight Watchers has featured only Jessica in their 2014 ad campaign, and Jessica has promoted her new body relentlessly on social media, said the source. Jennifer isn't the type of person to post revealing shots of her body, play the sex pot card, or use her personal life to bolster her career, noted the source. But Jessica will. In a statement, Jennifer called her time with Weight Watchers life-changing, adding, "I'm grateful for what I've learned throughout the process and will always take that with me. I have chosen to step away from my role as ambassador." But she may not mind leaving Jessica behind. When Jessica signed on with Weight Watchers, Jennifer was her biggest cheerleader, said the source. But Jennifer came to think that Jessica didn't take the program as seriously as she did. Now, with an Academy Award and numerous hits to her credit, Jennifer feels it's time to focus on her acting and singing careers. Bobby Christina's husband out of control. Whitney relatives fears over gun-wielding Nick. Whitney Houston's son-in-law is out of control, and now a source says the late singer's family wants him dealt with harshly for appearing to threaten family members' lives. Nick Gordon, 24, whom Whitney took in and raised as a son, married the I Will Always Love You singer's daughter, Bobby Chrissy Christina, 21, in January, and that didn't sit well with her family. Chrissy's uncle Gary, Aunt Pat, and grandmother Sissy were all said to disapprove of the union because they felt that Chrissy was too young to get married and that Nick was only using her for money. And while Chrissy's been lashing out at her family since her mother Whitney tragically died in the bathtub at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in February 2012, sources say that even she thinks Nick may have gone too far this time. On March 16th, Nick appeared to tweet a reference to Nightmare on Elm Street killer Freddy Krueger, apparently to Pat Houston, and called her a bitch. He appears to have directed other obscene rants at Whitney's cousin, Gary Michael Houston, and menacingly posted pictures of an AR-10 custom rifle with a scope attached, as well as a case with 4 handguns. Chrissy has relied on Nick since her mom died, and her family has fought her about him because they never liked him, revealed a family insider. But now some of the horrible things Nick has posted on Twitter are beyond crazy. Chrissy is still angry with her family, but she loves them very much, and she doesn't want anything to happen to them. This isn't the first time Nick has used a weapon in a threatening manner. In 2011, he allegedly pulled a 9mm semi-automatic pistol on several of Chrissy's friends during an altercation in a gas station parking lot in Roswell, Georgia. Police later recovered another gun and ammunition from the glove box of his car. A source says that Gary, Pat, and Sissy are now calling for legal intervention, and Chrissy is desperate to smooth over the situation before it escalates even further. Chrissy knows Nick has a bad temper, and he's bent on getting revenge, the insider added. She's afraid of what might happen next. Garth and Trisha, family heartache. Why they're starting a new life away from his kids. Garth Brooks is leaving his daughters high and dry to reignite his career in Nashville. Garth's country star wife, Trisha Yearwood, recently revealed that they're plotting their move from Claremore, Oklahoma, to Music City, saying, "We're excited for whatever's next for us." But that excitement apparently doesn't transfer to Garth's kids, from his first marriage to Sandy Brooks, daughters Taylor, August, and Allie. Even though Garth's daughters are all young adults, they still want their daddy close by, a family friend told the Inquirer. But Garth is driven to launch the biggest second act in country music history, and he feels he has to be where the action is, Nashville. Brooks, country music's all-time best-selling artist, lived with Sandy in Nashville until their 2001 divorce. Garth, 52, stunned the world when he announced his retirement from the music business, moved back to his native Oklahoma, and vowed not to return until Allie graduated from high school. In the meantime, he married longtime friend Yearwood, 49, in 2005, and lived near Sandy in Oklahoma as they shared parental duties. "The girls were so young when the family left Nashville, they barely even remember it," said another friend. Garth has told them he'll spring for plane tickets whenever they want to see him, but it's hard to break away from their lives in Oklahoma and travel more than 600 miles to Nashville on a whim. They don't like this one bit. The friend adds it's especially hard on August, who gave birth to Garth's first grandchild, Carolyn, last July. As the Inquirer reported, Garth was happy about becoming a grandfather, but brokenhearted that August was an unwed teenage mom. Still, he stood by her. But now Garth is moving full steam ahead with his career reboot and has already sold out all 400,000 tickets for a 5-date July engagement in Dublin, Ireland. Garth is the biggest phenomenon country music has ever seen, and obviously there's a pent-up demand since he's been away from touring for so long, noted a source. And knowing Garth, he'll be back recording and throwing himself into this comeback with everything he has. I can see why. If he's going to do this right, he'd want to be back living in Nashville. And Yearwood believes the time is right for the move, since Allie starts college in the fall. Garth and I both feel the job of being home every day and going to every soccer practice, that job is coming to an end for us, she explained. It's time for us to do the next thing. But it doesn't make the move any less painful for Garth's girls. They've had a stay-at-home dad since they were little, and there's a lot of separation anxiety, said the first friend. They know Garth loves them, but they're not happy about losing him to his career. The Bear Necessities. How beer-drinking grizzly Hercules became an animal superstar. For the first time, the owners of the most famous bear in the world reveal intimate secrets about raising him from a cub. "We sacrificed having children for our furry baby," said Maggie Robin about Hercules, a grizzly bear. Now he's the subject of a new British TV documentary, Hercules the Human Bear. Maggie's husband Andy bought Hercules when he was just a cub for about $80 from a wildlife park in Kincraig, Scotland. The bear not only became a surrogate child to Andy and Maggie, he grew up to be a Hollywood star and earned his parents millions. Andy had originally planned to train Hercules to wrestle, devising an intense workout schedule of cross-country running and sparring sessions. But one day during training, Hercules intentionally tripped Andy and pinned him to the ground. That's when something amazing happened. "He stood back and looked at me as if to say, 'I'm your friend, I'm not going to bite you,'" recalled Andy. "It was then I knew we had a star in the making." For 25 years, Hercules, who stood 9 feet tall and weighed nearly 1,000 pounds, lived in the Romans' Scotland home, even sitting down for meals with them. He didn't eat wild food. He had refined taste buds, noted Maggie. Hercules would even occasionally gulp down a few beers and get tipsy. It didn't happen often, but it was very funny when it did. He'd hiccup, said Maggie. He was a real character. His winning personality made him a highly valued animal actor, and he shot to stardom. Besides appearing in numerous commercials, he starred opposite Roger Moore in Octopussy and even made the cover of Time magazine. He also met Margaret Thatcher and caddied for Bob Hope at a golf tournament. Hercules died of natural causes in 2000 at the age of 25. That teddy bear we all had as a child became my everyday reality, Maggie said. Hercules never let me down once. We shared a charmed life full of adventure, love, and laughter that still to this day makes me smile. As she prepares to turn 50, Courtney looks half her age. But has Cougar Town star gone too far? Real-life cougar Courtney Cox has gone too far in her quest for eternal youth, fear pals. Sources say the 49-year-old Cougar Town star, who once called Botox fantastic and also horrible, looks like she can't get enough of the latest cosmetic procedures now that she's dating 37-year-old Irish rocker Johnny McDade. Since Johnny came on the scene, Courtney is even more paranoid about looking her age, a longtime pal told the Inquirer. She's constantly searching for the latest treatments to keep looking young. Courtney has previously said she's game for anything when it comes to holding off aging. According to the source, she's totally overdone the treatments, and it's a shame. In the past, she prided herself on having stealth treatments and regular freshen-ups that weren't obvious. But now Courtney has gotten rid of all the character lines that she had in her 30s. Her skin has been lasered to the point that it doesn't even look real. Critics slammed Courtney, mother of daughter Coco, 9, for her prominent duck-like mouth and overly puffy face on the set of her directorial film debut, Just Before I Go, last July. But with her 50th birthday looming on June 15th, the former Friends cutie won't be cutting back on cosmetic procedures, especially while she's dating a younger man like McDade, a member of the alt-rock band Snow Patrol, sources say. Courtney is slowly falling hard for Johnny, but friends worry because her face looks different every time they see her, said the pal. It's great to see her back in love again, but not if she keeps giving in to her paranoia over growing older. Gorging on comfort food, Kelly packs on the pounds. Bitter rival Christina gets the last laugh. Score one for Christina Aguilera in her feud with Fashion Police co-host Kelly Osbourne over their yo-yo weight woes. Kelly is ballooning since her split from fiancé Matthew Mosshart in January. Dirty singer Christina is slimmer and sexier than ever. Kelly has gained at least 10 pounds since her engagement crumbled, said a source. She's down in the dumps and comforting herself by eating junk food. She hasn't been meeting up with her personal trainer or going to her regular workout sessions either. As the Inquirer reported, the 5'2" former wild child, daughter of heavy metal rocker Ozzy and wife Sharon, had slimmed down from 160 to 100 pounds, thanks to falling in love with vegan chef Matthew. But recent photos show the former Dancing with the Stars contestant, 29, shrouded in baggy clothes. Meanwhile, the voice coach, Christina, who's also 5'2", ballooned up to 140 pounds in 2011 by boozing and chowing down on junk food. At the same time, Kelly slammed her publicly, sniping, "Maybe she is just becoming the fat bitch she was born to be. She called me fat for so many years. You know what? F you. You're fat, too." Christina, 33, recently weighed a wispy 100 pounds. She's also announced that she's engaged to her beau of 3 years, Matt Rutler, and are expecting their first child. So far, Christina hasn't made any public remarks about Kelly's weight, said the source, but privately, she's told friends, "What goes around comes around." Duck Wives' Twisted Lives Revealed. Cheating and fighting. Boozed up and suicidal. Sex abuse scandal. The God-fearing Duck Dynasty clan has a shocking history of boozing, cheating, pot smoking, and even child abuse. It's all being revealed in a blockbuster new book that rips the lid off the ups and downs of the wacky but close-knit and devout Christian family. Titled The Women of Duck Commander, surprising insights from the women behind the beards about what makes this family work. The sensational tell-all is written by Miss Kay Robertson and her daughters-in-law Corey, Missy, Jessica, and Lisa Robertson, and the Enquirer has a sneak peek. In the first bombshell, Miss Kay, wife of family patriarch Phil Robertson, reveals how his boozing and suspicions that she'd cheated on him nearly drove her to kill herself. Kay, who married Phil at age 15, says she avoided booze because her mother was an alcoholic. But her husband hit the bottle hard, and during one of his alcoholic feud rages, he accused Kay of having an affair. She was so distressed over it, she admits contemplating suicide. An enraged Phil actually kicked Kay and their kids out of their home in West Monroe, Louisiana. But Phil eventually came to God after meeting with Bill Smith, a pastor of White's Ferry Road Church, and his wife. Meanwhile, Corey reveals that before the Klan hit it big with their Duck Commander business and hit A&E show, she and husband Willie were so poor that they did their laundry at a friend's house. Corey also discloses that she met her future father-in-law, Phil, when she was in fifth grade. Back then, Phil told Corey that his sons would make excellent husbands, and she should keep her eye on them. It's clear Phil was scouting for wives for his boys even when they were in grade school, noted a source. And while Alan, the Klan's beardless brother, became a minister, he was a bad boy back in high school, regularly boozing and smoking pot. Alan turned into such an unholy terror that Phil and Miss Kay kicked him out of their house. In the book's most shocking revelation, Alan's wife Lisa reveals that she was sexually abused between the ages of 7 and 14. Her abuser was a member of her extended family and had major drug and alcohol problems. The molestation has hung over Alan's wife her entire life, said a source. Lisa also writes that the couple struggled during the late 1990s when she cheated on Alan for more than a year. He eventually ordered Lisa to leave and explained the reason to their daughters. Phil counseled Alan not to get back together with Lisa, but the couple reconciled 2 months later. Jason Robertson, known as Jace, started dating his wife Missy when she was 16 and he was 18, according to the book. But the teenage lovebirds didn't have sex until their wedding night. With the amazing popularity of Duck Dynasty, Missy writes that Jace has been hit on by many women, but hasn't strayed. A source said, "Now that the women have opened up and spilled all their secrets, it's going to put pressure on the men to disclose their wild times in detail." Bradley's secret calls with Renee behind girlfriend Suki's back. American Hustle hunk Bradley Cooper's intimate phone chats with ex-girlfriend Renee Zellweger prompted his latest love, Suki Waterhouse, to dump him, insiders say. British model Suki, 21, reportedly ended their year-long romance, saying she was too young for the 39-year-old actor. But a close source claims the relationship began to unravel weeks ago when Suki tried to ban Bradley from contacting Oscar winner Renee, 44. Suki was getting fed up with Bradley vanishing for hours at a time to talk to Renee, the source told the Enquirer. Besides that, he was opening up to Renee about his family, his health, and even his sobriety. Suki felt Bradley should be confiding in her about those things. Renee and Bradley met while filming Case 39 in 2006 and started dating in 2009. They split in March 2011, but have remained tight even though Renee is seeing musician Doyle Bramhall II, 45. A friend of Renee's told the Enquirer, "Yes, Renee is talking to Bradley. She's close to signing a movie deal with his pal Daniel Craig, and she's begged Bradley to put in a good word for her." Meanwhile, Suki appears in the upcoming rom-com Love, Rosie and dreams of an acting career. But Bradley gives her little encouragement, added the source. Knowing that Bradley is helping Renee, an established actress, and not her, really hurt Suki, the source said. Finally, Suki begged Bradley to cut all ties with Renee, although there was no indication they were doing anything improper. Bradley told Suki she was being unreasonable and refused, said the insider. Now she's decided it's time to move on. Mad Mel to marry again. Even his ex-wife approves of Italian beauty. Mel Gibson is being pressured to marry his gorgeous Italian girlfriend by his ex-wife Robin. The Mad Max star, who spent years dealing with the baby mama drama of ex-girlfriend Oksana Grigorieva, is ready to settle down with singer-songwriter Nadia Lanfranconi, says an insider. Mel just wants peace and quiet, and settling down with Nadia sounds better every day, a family source told the Inquirer. Nadia is the polar opposite of Oksana. She reminds Mel of a younger version of his ex-wife Robin, who was a love of his life. Mel's kids think she's great, and even Robin approves. It's just a matter of time before he proposes. Oscar winner Mel, 58, and Robin divorced in 2011 after 31 years of marriage. The Braveheart star has 7 children with her and a 4-year-old daughter with Russian singer Oksana, who recently declared bankruptcy. He's been dating Nadia since 2012 and recently took her to an event in West Hollywood sponsored by Robin's charity Mending Kids International. While Mel has made headlines in recent years with his DUI arrest and vile rants, he's now reportedly clean and sober and will hit the big screen in The Expendables 3 this summer. The source says Mel is the happiest he's ever been. Mel loves Nadia, and she's itching to get married and start a family of her own, added the source. Mel loves kids, so that's not an issue. He just wanted to be certain he doesn't have another Oksana on his hands. If he doesn't get cold feet, he'll be walking down the aisle again. Dancing with the Stars feud explodes. NeNe and Candace butting heads on set. There's a bitter behind-the-scenes battle brewing between Dancing with the Stars contestants NeNe Leakes and Candace Cameron Bure. It all started when Real Housewives of Atlanta star NeNe questioned Candace about the Full House cutie's admission that she plays a submissive role in her marriage to former pro hockey star Valerie Bure. When Candace, 38, explained that she's a devout Christian, NeNe shot back, "You're saying I'm not?" NeNe got more irate after she learned that Candace's brother, Growing Pains actor Kirk Cameron, has said that homosexuality is unnatural and destructive. And to top it off, Candace came out in support of the fast food chain Chick-fil-A when it was being boycotted for its CEO's anti-gay marriage comments. NeNe, 46, is an outspoken advocate of same-sex marriage and a close friend of openly gay TV producer Ryan Murphy, who has cast her on 2 TV shows, including Glee. NeNe's upset because she thinks Kirk runs his mouth against gays and that Candace is party to all that, said a source. And she lets Candace know it. Early on, NeNe and Candace did some interviews together for TV, but it was clear there was no love lost between them. They were like oil and water. They didn't mix. Now Candace is trying to keep her distance from NeNe. Producers spoke to NeNe about it, and she laughed, saying, "Oh, this little diva is scared of little old me?" She knows she's getting Candace's goat. But Candace may get the last laugh. She's currently beating NeNe on the leaderboard. NeNe getting the boot, said the source, would be sweet revenge for Candace. For Your Eyes Only, James Bond's naked brother, and he looks very different from hunky Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig's little half-brother, Harry, shares the James Bond star love of the camera, but that's where the similarities between them end. While Daniel, 46, will rake in a whopping $50 million for his next 2 Bond flicks, Harry, 23, still lives at home with their dad, Tim, and earns $30 an hour posing for bizarre photos. Harry has made quite a name for himself in the alternative modeling world, posing with lipstick, eyeliner, piercings, and other jewelry for fetish publications. With a Marilyn Manson scowl and heavy makeup, Harry is a gothic fetish dream. Outfitted in leather, chains, and studs, Harry said, When it comes to horror, I prefer to do stuff that will freak people out and chill them to the bone, so to speak, as opposed to gore. I am, however, not opposed to gore shoots as long as it's a good concept. In one of his photo shoots, Harry appears in the buff. Except for a bowler hat and lots of eyeshadow, puffing on a cigar while straddling a chair backward. Other photos show him strangling a female model while wearing a rubber mask, flipping the bird at the camera, and being tortured by a lingerie-clad, masked woman with tattered fishnet stockings. At 6'3", he's 4 inches taller than his famous half-sibling, but he has a leaner build, weighing 162 compared to Daniel's 171. "I look like a tramp," admitted Harry, who also works as a bartender. "You wouldn't think I'm a model by the looks of it. I've got people spread out across the world who like my work. It's pretty cool." Harry also has a strange hobby, collecting gas masks, which perplexes his loved ones. "I love my gas masks," he said, "and I will rarely turn down a shoot involving them. My parents think I'm a freak. My brother thinks I'm a weirdo. But I love them." The Devil and NASCAR. Woman stabs husband for worshipping race. "The devil made me do it." That's what a half-baked Tennessee woman told cops after she stabbed her husband in the chest, saying she did it because he was worshipping NASCAR. On March 16th, police responded to an emergency call from Stephen Hammond of Churchill, Tennessee, who said his wife had crashed her car into Providence Church, located across the street from their apartment, and then stabbed him when he rushed to her aid. When police confronted Stephen's wife, Stephanie, 23, they say she not only confirmed her husband's account, she confessed she had smoked a bunch of weed and then had conversations with both God and the devil. She stated that God told her that smoking marijuana all day and all night was not good for her, and that she only needed to smoke it at night to help her relax, said an incredulous Churchill Police Department chief, Mark Johnson. Mrs. Hammond further stated that she felt her husband Stephen was worshiping the NASCAR race at Bristol, which made her mad, and she began having thoughts that the devil put in her head. Mr. Hammond stated he found his wife lying in front of the altar, and as he checked on her, she stated, "The devil is in me," and stabbed him on the right side of his chest with a large kitchen knife. While most people arrested on attempted murder charges would probably try not to implicate themselves in the crime, cops couldn't get Stephanie to stop talking. "God told me he wanted me in the church, so I drove my car through the front doors. God told me to, so I did it," she said, according to police. "After I drove through the doors, I put all the things I brought to the church at the altar. I called Stephen and told him I had wrecked. I lay down in front of the altar until he got there. The devil told me to take the kitchen knife with me. I prayed I would not have to use it on him, but I did. When Stephen came to check on me, I told him the devil was in me and I stabbed him in the heart." Cops say, she then added, "Have you heard if he's dead or not?" In fact, Stephen Hammond wasn't dead. He managed to pull the knife out of his chest and called 911 from his apartment. He was listed in fair condition the day after the incident. Stephanie was charged with first-degree attempted murder and felony vandalism and was being held without bond pending her first appearance in court. That's all the time for the National Enquirer. Tune in again next week. I'm Melissa Wyman. Please stay with us. The next program begins at the top of the hour.
This is the Minnesota Radio Talking Book Network with studios in St. Paul. Our TV broadcast of print media to Minnesota and the nation is intended exclusively for the use of people with blindness and print disability. It's a minute and a half before 6 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Mark Vitas.
Older adults, their caregivers, and families face a variety of challenges. Fairview Home Care and Hospice offers a wide array of coordinated services to help people maintain independent lifestyles. Services include education and support for caregivers, assistance understanding the paperwork and procedures of Medicare, an emergency response system, foot care clinics, assessments, referrals, and coordinated care management. For information about its many services and resources, call Fairview Home Care and Hospice at 612-728-2468. That's 612-728-2468. This is announcement number 26.
Tubman's Chrysalis Center offers counseling and therapy to women, children, families, and men struggling with mental health, chemical health, dialectical behavior therapy, DBT, co-occurring disorder, and holistic abuse prevention. Tubman's Chrysalis Center also offers numerous support groups. For more information, please call 612-825-3333 or visit tubman.org. This is announcement number 84.